1 Samuel 15:23. And it says, "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Now, this is a really important scripture for so-called Christians or Christians that are imaging worship, idolatry. It says here that stubbornness is as iniquity, which means vanity or wicked or vain, and idolatry, which is image worship. So you see, a lot of, don't you wonder why a lot of times, why do these pastors and priests and that have put on all these garb, all this garb with crosses and all of this stuff? Maybe they go from the Old Testament where they were supposed to dress up like God told them. But, you know, there, a lot of that's image worship. That's idolatry. And idolatry is stubbornness. You know, I know a lot of stubborn people. And I have a tendency towards that way. But do you know that that's idolatry if you're really stubborn? That's idolatry. And you got to be careful because you could go to hell for it. If you live that way, you better be careful. Now, the next one is witchcraft. And there are several terms for witchcraft that I want to use. But notice here in 1 Samuel 15:23, it says, "Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." So if you're rebellious, this goes for youngsters to their parents. And this goes to people going to church and to your superiors in the ministry and superiors that are police or anything else. If you're rebellious to the things that God has said, remember Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar's what Caesar's." Should you pay your taxes as a Christian? Oh, no, I don't ever want to pay my taxes. They just take the money and use it for the devil. Hey, Jesus said to pay them. If you don't, you're in rebellion. And it says, "Children, obey your parents." I've come to the conclusion that's for life. If your parents are smart enough to raise you when you were a little twerp in diapers, they're old enough to give you good advice when you get up in that age. And I've got kids that are wandering for 20 years now, and I blame myself. I should have stood up. I said, I could tell you then, I'm going to tell you now. Because you need to listen. Rebellion is a sin, and you can go to hell for it. What sin? Witchcraft. Also, witchcraft can be sorcery or magic. We have Christians that like to deal in magic sometimes. They even put on magic shows. You got to be really careful. You can get into witchcraft easily. And also drugs. Pharmakia, witchcraft is where we get pharmacy and all our drug terms, right? So if you're into drugs, you're into witchcraft as far as God's concerned. And as far as I'm concerned, you can open yourself up to demons. And we've seen it and we've done deliverances on it. You don't know who you're messing with when you're dealing with drugs. You're not messing with just the flesh, but you're getting into demonic spiritual problems then. But that's witchcraft, and you can go to hell for being a drug addict. Hatred. Hatred is hostility. And you know, there's always people that are really hateful, aren't they? You've seen them. Variance is contention and strife. Do you know anybody like that that says they're Christian? They argue. It also means argue. Variants are those that argue and have contention and strife. And you know what? There's a lot of them in the church. Emulations are jealousies and envy. Jealousies and envy. Do you envy what somebody else has? I even know pastors that envy other churches. They got more money, a bigger flock, and all that. They envy them. That's a sin. Envy is a sin. It's an emulation. Jealousy is a sin. Jealousy can be a demonic spirit, too. But it can be a work of the flesh. Remember, these are all works of the flesh. Wrath, fierce, and those that have outbursts. Remember at our church that we used to go to, how many of these guys that were drug addicts and problem guys were always had wrath, outbursts. They would come out with these outbursts and fierce. scare you to death. That's not the love of the Lord. Strife. Strife means factions and intrigue. Isn't that interesting? Intrigue. Yeah. Do you know that there's a lot of intrigue in the churches? I used to be the head of a department in a college, and I always had all these guys and gals in there, and there was always a lot of intrigue. They would hide stuff, or they'd tell somebody something. And I finally told them, you know what, I'm fed up with your intrigue. You're like a spy case here. If I don't know exactly what you're thinking of that, you're lying to me, or you're trying to do all this. Does that go on in the church? Unfortunately, it does. It also means selfish ambitions. Selfish ambition is strife. And you know, that's where a lot of it stems from in the church, isn't it? A lot of people have ambition. They want to be an elder, and they aren't getting voted on because they don't like each other. There's a lot of strife and contention, and there's a lot of selfish ambitions. That's strife. Seditions. Seditions are dissension and divisions. That's what happens as a result of strife a lot of times. We end up in divisions or dissensions. Then we have heresies. Heresies are sects, S-E-C-T-S, or disunion. Disunion. I want you to notice here that heresies are a choice. It's a choice. If you choose to present heresies against the Christian church, you have a choice. And you're causing a sect. Isn't that where these sects came out of? Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses. Most of them came out of the Christian church, by the way. Somebody got I don't know what word I want to use, but they got upset with the way things were going, so they started their own. How about Mary Eddie Baker? Christian family, and they just start saying, well, I'm going to add this and this and this because I don't like what you did. Their parents. So they start their own. But Paul was accused of heresy because he said things differently than they thought they should hear in the church, but he wasn't a heretic. He was giving the right thing. They were the heretics. Okay, let's move on. Envyings. Envyings itself. Here's a word, envyings, besides where we used it as part of emulation. Envyings is jealous, doing things through jealousy and spite. You know what spite is, right? You've done it when you were a teenager, probably. You spite somebody, and so you did something to them or that. And so jealousy or spite is envyings. Murders are slayers. There's different kinds of murderers, right? Slayers. Drunkenness is intoxication. That could be drugs, alcohol, or even pharmaceutical drugs that you become addicted to. Revelings are riotings, big-time parties. There's a lot of those going on with all these rave parties and all these other things, right? I was working at a high school, I won't tell you where, and we found out, believe it or not, that two or three of the dads in this high school were putting on these parties for the teenagers. They have a name for it, I can't remember what it is, but they were big beer parties. They would get the kegs, these parents would get the kegs, charge a kid about $50 a person or 20 or 30 to come in, and they were supervising the party, the parents were, but the kids were all getting drunk and drinking the beer, and these guys were pocketing the money. And I said, why would they do that? Because they were making a couple thousand bucks a night doing it. You have two or three of those, and you don't have to work anymore. But they were destroying the kids. But it's live. This is going on. This wasn't this many years ago. Okay? Drunkenness and revelings. And such like of these I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, get this, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Some say, well, look at Timothy. He said, if I do this, I'm going to hell. No, I didn't. The Bible says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I told you once before, I was in a false teacher's class, and he said that meant when you go up to the kingdom and you're saved, that you're just not going to inherit anything. That's what this false teacher told me at this famous church I went to. And I knew he was lying. He was from the devil. And that's why I know what this means. This means you're not going to go. I didn't go. I went to hell. I went to outer darkness. That's where I went. Why? Because I was a drunkard here and some of these other things going on. Now, it says in Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ, now hopefully if you're a Christian, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Now I want to get a little in depth on this one here. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Now take yourself, there's the cross, and put your flesh on it. Put a nail in it, on the feet and on the hands, and put it up there on the cross. And then you've really crucified it. See, we don't think what that means. What does that mean? That's why I don't like when people try to tell you that you have to go through somebody to be saved. Mary and nobody else died on the cross for you. Okay? No pastor, no priest died on the cross for you. You don't need any of them to be saved. All you need is God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, and He'll do the work. Now, naturally, we go through the order of things, but you need to know that. You need to hang your flesh on the cross and nail it yourself. Try driving those big spikes into your flesh. Now, we're not talking about what they do in some of these countries that practice idolatry, but we're just talking about spiritually. Drive those nails in there. Now, affections here, I always thought, and some of your Bibles say passions. You can raise your hand if you want, but don't tell me the Bible. But that's not what it means. Okay? It tells you lust. Why do you need passions? What that means here, with the affections, means with having undergone, it's giving you the results of your living in the flesh here. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh because they've undergone hardship, pain, affliction, sufferings, emotions, and influence. That's all in the Greek. Look it up. Affections. Passions doesn't give you nothing. The word is 3804. Pathema. P-A-T-H-E-M-A. Pathema. 3804. So, yes, it can say passions, but that's a partial part of it. But the most important thing is when you say crucify the flesh, is you, if you're in the flesh, you've undergone hardships, pain, affliction, emotion, suffering, and influence from others, haven't you? And I think that means a lot more than what your different Bibles say with just passion there. That's not enough in depth. In other words, you've paid the price. You ought to want to crucify the flesh and nail it.
That's right.
You ought to want to. Look what you've had to go through. I look at my own family and some of the things that they've put themselves through. They've been influenced by others. Their emotions have been beaten up. They've suffered. They're afflicted and in pain. And they've undergone hardship. Why? Because God's a meanie. Because their parents are meanies. Because their brothers and sisters are meanies. No. Because they want to live in the flesh. They want to live in that sarx. And that's what happens when you do. How do you know you're in it? We just covered all that. So as I finish today, I want you to know that the natural man does not understand the things of the Lord. And if you're doing these things here, you need to get saved. But I'm a pastor. I don't care. I'm a priest. I don't care. You need to get saved. Do you think those people in the church that were abusing those young boys and some girls, and you know what church I'm talking about, are saved? They need to get saved. Yes, they can repent and be saved, but they were not saved or they wouldn't have done these things. They got into the works of the flesh. And they will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the problem with sending people like this to the psychologist to oversee this thing and to add sin to sin, cover it with a covering, and they're going to hell. And the church is letting them. Instead of saying, and I haven't heard this yet on television, or the radio, I haven't heard, they're sinners. Have you? Have you ever heard them say that? They're sinners, and they need to repent of their sin. It has nothing to do that they're just misinformed and all that, or for somebody else to hide and cover it. They need to repent and fall on their knees and ask Jesus to forgive them. That's what they need. And some of them 20, 30 years ago committed these sins and haven't done that. They've covered it. Why? Because they sent them to the psychologist who doesn't know what sin and repentance is. They sent them to the natural man. Now, next time we'll get together, we'll continue on with a carnal Christian. I hope we've clarified the flesh. That's about all the further we got today. Lord, we just thank you for this time to come together in this study. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to open the eyes and the hearts of those that hear it, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.